Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, kicking off another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week, and you'll receive $150 in free bets instantly. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. And as promised, Dustin, as we ended quarter number one, we're going to start quarter number two, talking about Jahan freaking Dotson. Every week, we were talking off the air about it. He's so good that you now just are no longer amazed by these great catches because he does it every week.
It's like his greatest gift, and it's also had been a curse up until this point because he just doesn't get a lot of notoriety. What was he? I was trying to remember. Was he a second or a third team All Big Ten guy last year? And then I think he was not a first teamer this year either. It's like, what is everybody else watching and seeing that we're not seeing? And it's like, you know, I use the term understated dominance. I don't think I've seen a guy who just brings less attention to it than this guy. And like the first touchdown catch in this game was spectacular, but it has been so customary that he's just going to make that catch. And I think that he's just raised the bar within the Penn State fan base so high. And that process began last year against Ohio State when he beat up on Sean Wade and he made that one-handed catch. Like that was to me the next layer of like, oh, okay, this guy's bringing something different that I wasn't expecting. And he's been doing it since then every single week. And now we've got what, 7 games in a row with a touchdown catch, I think it's 8 games in a row with at least 5 catches. You know, so you talk about consistently impacting the game. It's just become automatic. And I don't know. I mean, he just makes running fast look routine, and he makes spectacular catches look routine because there's just not a lot of unnecessary flair to them. You know, he's not going up and catching a ball with one hand unless that's the only choice he's got. You know, and that's where a lot of wide receivers are at this point in time. There's a lot of stake with Jahan Dotson, and not any more sizzle than necessary.
And the thing is, Dustin, again, off the air, we were talking about this, and you were saying about what a spectacular catch at the back of the end zone. Well, which game were you talking about? This one, the previous one?
Yeah.
It seems like there's always this great catch at the back of the end zone. And the other thing, and I asked you this question because I do not recall one. Has he dropped the ball yet this year? Has there been a catch that he should make that he hasn't?
Well, I mean, before this game, and I don't think I really ever stopped to think about that, but before this game, Pro Football Focus had him at 27 catches and 0 drops. And I don't remember a drop from last night. So that would be 35 catches and no drops. I mean, he's on the front wave of players across the country when it comes to success rate throwing him the ball. And that's not even that particular stat, drop passes, is not even getting into catches made that shouldn't have been made. How many catches do you think he's made that probably wouldn't have been made by the, you know, anything short of the top 10 percentile in the country? What do you think? Like six or eight balls that he caught that just very, very, very few others could make.
Well,
and so you're talking about drops, and you're talking about just that enormous catch radius for a guy who's 5'11".
You asked me what was the number of great catches, and I did look into it, and I came up with a lot. That's how many, Dustin. Okay. A lot.
Technical term. Thanks for doing the math.
Well, you're welcome. So we know he's special, and he seems to affect every game, which is great consistency for a wide receiver. Let's go, though, to the quarterback, and that was Sean Clifford. I look at this, I thought this was his weakest game, at least going back to Wisconsin, if not even counting that one. And I noticed three things. One, I think there were a few balls that were just bad passes, some of the stuff that we hoped he had cleaned up entirely. He had an interception. I think this was his first bad interception where he completely didn't see the defender. And the third element to this, though, is, and I'll give Indiana defense credit for this, you didn't have Penn State receivers just running free the way they have been.
Yes. Yeah. So, and, you know, I'm not sure there's many, many different components that go into this, but this was not Sean Clifford's sharpest 60 minutes for sure. And the numbers will absolutely back that up. 17 out of 33, you know, talk about the efficiency that was there for Auburn, the efficiency that was there for Villanova, completing a high percentage of his passes, which was, I think, north of 70% coming into this game. So 17 out of 33 is a step backwards. And I think, you know, I do feel like, you know, Indiana's strength is always in the coordination and the communication of their defense. They are a very, very well-coached unit, and it's always been that way because that's what Tom Allen's background is. Their coordinator is a first-year guy. I thought did a fantastic job of managing this situation and managing the fact that, you know, your opponent in this game had sizable advantages when it comes to speed and athleticism. This is not a bad group by any means for Indiana, but there's just not a ton of special athletes on it. But I think Indiana is a really good case of you can make up for that by communicating really, really well, understanding the game plan well, having a guy like Micah McFadden who was just blowing stuff up. Like his presence reminded me of like Josie Jewell from 4 years ago, 5 years ago, where he was just all over the field. You remember that game where Saquon?
Oh, yeah.
He touched the ball like 50 times in Iowa. And Josie Jewell was like everywhere that Saquon was. He just wasn't as good as Saquon. So
but
Micah McFadden
45
was
out of
50
touches. He was there, yeah. And you're right. McFadden was pretty special.
Yeah, and he had an unbelievable game. He's an unbelievable player. I don't know what he's going to make of himself at the next level, but he's just kind of one guy, the leader of this group. And I think one area where Penn State's defense, and I know I'm running a little off topic here, but it's all part of it. One area where Penn State's defense has improved a great deal, which we'll touch on then, is their ability to communicate and line up and understand their assignments and not have these breakdowns. That's what Indiana does really, really well. So they weren't giving anything that Penn State really wanted in the passing game, and Clifford had to kind of work and figure that out. And he did. I mean, he made enough plays to stay in control, to stay in command. He was helped by the fact that Penn State's defense made that interception not hurt. So I think he's been afforded time to work through this stuff, but you do need to see, the Auburn version of Sean Clifford in a lot of these games moving forward and not the Indiana version.
And again, I'd like to give credit to that Indiana defense. As you mentioned, McFadden, he just played a tremendous game. He was all over the field. And I don't want to say that Penn State took the foot off the pedal, but it seemed like they were in control early. Indiana never really threatened. Their one opportunity was after that interception, and the Penn State defense put an end to that very quickly. And we'll get more into Penn State's defense. But it was nice to see, you know, Sean Clifford was not sharp. You also had Parker Washington dropping a couple passes, which I think are the first that I recall him dropping a pass. And yet, they won 24-0. You know, I'm picking out all these little things that are wrong, and they won 24-0. So what does that say when you have the team play maybe their C-plus game on offense, and you win 24-0?
I mean, I think it just speaks to what Penn State is doing in all three phases, how well the defense is playing, and how the Penn State offense, even when, like, you know, not, it hasn't been perfect in any of these games, but I think they've played, you know, five pretty well-coached defenses. And each time they play a defense, there's a little bit more information out there about what Penn State's limitations are. So they're working around those types of things. But I think they're executing and they're staying in control and command and avoiding big mistakes, which it's going to be a huge theme for this week coming up at Iowa, avoiding huge mistakes. And I guess what you saw from Clifford and why we're dwelling on some of this stuff that didn't go great against Indiana is trying to figure out, okay, how good is this number four team in the country? Can what they're doing translate to good teams? Because there's a bunch of them coming up on the schedule. And I do think that their game does translate. And what this says is Penn State's offense is finding a way one way or another. You think about Noah Kane getting involved in the passing game in week one. We haven't seen that really since then with him, for sure. You talk about Jahan Dotson shaking loose early against Villanova deep, shaking loose in the third quarter against Wisconsin deep. Now you have him impacting games in the screen game, in the short game. You had the tight ends, you know, really not making a ton of plays, but when they do make plays, they're big ones. So in this one, Brenton Strange with that 10-yard touchdown, Theo Johnson with that 20-yard catch and run. You've seen them be able to kind of get different elements going. Parker Washington, going off against Villanova. We haven't really seen that in any other game except that one. There's always going to be at least one thing because they're diverse enough offensively. So whatever that one thing's got to be, they're going to have to do it really, really well against Iowa. And that to me is the story of the Penn State offense. They don't have all the elements in a macro sense. In every individual game, they're kind of lacking one thing at least or another. They're not getting a ton of push up front. They're not getting the run game going, whatever. But they're finding a way, whatever it is. And I think Mike Yurcich is creative enough that he's got a lot of stuff that he can throw out there. He can adjust on the fly, and whatever is going to be working, he'll find it, he'll add some wrinkles, and they'll make it continue to work. I feel like that's a formula that can continue against these better teams, too.
Real quick, last thing on the offense, the little shovel pass where there was the penalty.
Yeah.
What's the story on that?
I wasn't buying
call?
That. I mean, he was in a three-point stance. He looked like he was off the line of scrimmage. He wasn't, which would have made him not covered up. I didn't really agree with that call, but that's what the officials saw, and they weren't going to back away from that. I thought it was – I didn't agree with it.
I'm glad you said that because I thought it was not a good call, but if it was close enough to call, that's the kind of obscure call you don't make. I'll bet you how they were lined up. You could call that probably about 10 times a game. For them to pick that one out, I don't get it. All right, Dusty, that's it for quarter number two. We're going to start talking defense in quarter number three.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is kicking off another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.